Well, hey, good morning again, everyone. It's a joy to be able to gather online with the entire LifePoint family today. Hope everybody's had a good Christmas weekend, and I hope as we close out what has been, as we've said, just a difficult year, that folks have time to rest and to recharge as we head into 2021. A couple of months ago, Dean and Ed and Adam and I were just talking about this message and how we wanted to really close out the year, and we took some time during that meeting to just reflect on 2020 itself, how challenging the year has been, how I would imagine all of us have been affected in some way, shape, or form. Some of us far more than others. Some of us are dealing with personal loss or family loss or job loss. Many of us, if not all of us, have had to make decisions that we probably never thought we'd have to make, or decisions that formerly were very simple things that now require a lot of time and deliberation and just thought. Sometimes I've heard the phrase decision fatigue, right? And I think many of us have felt that throughout the course of the year. It is an understatement to say that the year has been a difficult year. I think that if we were to go back to 2019 and give people a picture of 2020, I don't know that any of us would have really believed ourselves. The reality is that in 2020, many things have changed. And yet, in the midst of how much has changed, there are some things that remain wonderfully and gloriously the same. I reminded our Delaware campus a few weeks ago, just via email, of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And we've said it before, but I think it bears repeating as we close out this year. Circumstances change, God does not. Circumstances change, God does not. His goodness does not change, his kindness does not change, his mercy and his love and his compassion for us does not change, his justice does not change, his faithfulness does not change. And one of the things that we reflected on during our time together a couple of months ago is that along with God's character remaining the same, God's mission also remains the same. While our circumstances do change, our mission as the people of God remains the same. And despite everything else that has changed, we still have the same purpose. The thing that God has given us to do remains the same. And I don't know about you, but I find that to be a very purpose-giving, grounding, stabilizing, and comforting reality. That no matter what else changes, there is a God who is, and that God remains, and his mission for us has not changed. And that mission is, of course, to make disciples. Our purpose here on earth is to glorify God, and the primary way in which we do that is we make disciples. We live out the mission that God has given us. And we say often at LifePoint that we exist to draw life from God, which is a reflection of the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love him with everything that you are. And then we say that we exist to draw life from God and then point others to him, which is really a reflection of the Great Commission. And you see some form of the Great Commission, this call to make disciples, stated in various gospels, in the book of Acts. Most famous is from Matthew chapter 28. And what's happening at the end of Matthew chapter 28 is that Jesus has risen from the grave. He's not a baby in the manger anymore. He is the resurrected, glorified Son of God, the King of heaven, who is now ascending back into heaven. And he, in a sense, looks at his disciples and at you and me, at the church, and he's sort of handing things over in a sense to them to say, look, it is now your mission to go make disciples. He's given them his Holy Spirit. He's given to us his Holy Spirit. And he then tells his disciples what they are to be doing, what the church is to be occupied with until he returns. And he says it this way in Matthew 28, to start in verse 16, it says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And we're not going there this morning, but I think that statement deserves probably an entire message unto itself, that they're here worshiping the risen Lord who's about to ascend into heaven, and yet some still doubted. And then it says this in verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, and I think that's so important, that therefore, it's in light of what he just said that he says what he's about to say here about making disciples. He says, in light of the amazing fact that all authority belongs to Jesus, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We say this oftentimes, baptism is not the finish line, it's the starting line. We don't baptize people and then say, man, we're basically done, congratulations. Then begins the process of discipleship. What Jesus says here, go make disciples, baptizing them and then teaching them. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus looks at his disciples, the church, you and me, and he promises them, promises us his presence, his ongoing help by his Spirit until the day that he returns. And I just want us to note that as Jesus gives this mission statement to the church, to his disciples, he doesn't say, go make disciples as long as everything is going well. Go make disciples as long as circumstances are good. But if a pandemic hits, go ahead and you can take a break, right? Sort of retreat for a while, just sort of regroup a bit. Then you can maybe go back to making disciples when things are safe. He doesn't say that. He just says, go make disciples. Rain or shine, good times or bad, we are to persevere even through difficulty and through suffering. We are to endure in the mission that God has given us. And yet what's so comforting, what's so amazing, these two amazing statements that with this mission also comes these promises, these statements from Jesus. The first being, all authority, he says, belongs to me. Nothing happens outside of the authority of Jesus. Even 2020, COVID-19, a divisive election. And while we may look at 2020 and the way we've experienced it, we're sort of confronted with this reality that, Lord, I don't always understand what it is that you're doing. We're confronted with the reality that his ways and his methods and his thoughts are just different and higher than our ways and our thoughts. And yet, the truth is 2020 has not happened outside of the authority of Jesus. Nothing in 2020 has surprised Jesus. He is still in control because all authority has been given to him. And then he promises this, right? He sandwiches the mission in this statement of all authority is mine. Then he gives us the mission. And at the end he says, and behold, I will be with you to the very end of the age. Jesus doesn't say, go make disciples and good luck. Let me know how it goes when I return. He says, I will be with you. He promises his presence and ongoing help. And so there's this reality that we need to be committed to Jesus, but Jesus first committed to us. God moved first in this relationship. We are called to lay our lives down for Jesus, but it's because Jesus first laid down his life for us. He moved first, he committed to us. And as we go about his mission, he promises, he has committed to us that he will be with us. And so I just wanna ask this question, and as we teach throughout this morning, this is kind of the question we're asking. Have we seen that true? Have we seen that be true in 2020? Have we seen God's faithfulness? And I think the answer is, in spite of all of the difficulties of 2020, the answer is a resounding yes. We have seen story after story. A couple of months ago, a young man reached out to me at the Delaware campus, 17 years old, and said, Cale, can I meet with you at 6 a.m. in the morning? Anytime a 17-year-old asks for a 6 a.m. meeting, I assume it's important. And through tears, he began to share with me just what's going on in his life. And I said, man, you gotta talk with your parents. And he did. I said, you need to talk with our college and student pastor, Paul Pretty, and get into a youth group. And he did. And a couple of weeks later, Paul sat with him and said, man, you've been in church your whole life. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And he said, no, but I want to. And he gave his life to Christ. And we had the privilege of baptizing him a few weeks later and then beginning that process of teaching him to obey Jesus. We have seen God be faithful. And Adam's gonna come and just share in the context of Mount Vernon how we've seen this truth prove itself, that Jesus has promises that he'll be with us.
Thanks, Cale. As Cale, who planned our time together today, he asked me, hey, Adam, would you be willing to share kind of about Matthew 28 and how you've seen God's faithfulness, especially in the midst of our transition from one church in multiple locations to being a family of churches in multiple locations? And there were multiple ideas that came as I was trying to think about what I might share with you today. I think about there's essentially an entire unit at a local hospital where a lot of the nurses started watching LifePoint Mount Vernon online, and some of them have begun gathering with us in person. One of them has recently come to faith, and I could talk about the people we've seen go public with baptisms or people in groups, but I couldn't ignore what really came to mind first when I thought about the transition we've made this year and the Great Commission. And the first thing that came to mind was honestly Dean and his leadership. Because the reality is, Dean is committed to the words that Cale just read to us. Dean isn't about what's comfortable. Dean isn't about what's easy. Dean is about doing whatever we can do to best fulfill the mission of Christ, which is to go and make disciples everywhere, baptizing them and teaching them to observe everything that he's told us to do. And so Dean called me back in the spring and said, "Hey, Adam, I've been thinking about something." He said, I feel like our current structure is slowing us down. What do you think? And as I reflected on that conversation, the thing that I loved was, because of how I've been trained by not just Dean, but our LifePoint team, I knew what he meant. When he said slowing us down, he meant slowing us down from planting more churches and making more disciples. And I said to Dean, I think you're right. I think that our current structure, while it's been awesome to get us where we are, it's begun to slow us down from the mission of Christ. And so what began to bubble to the surface pretty quickly was the plan that we're now in the process of executing, where we've transitioned from one church in multiple locations to a family of churches in multiple locations. And it wasn't easy. It's been a lot of work, and it still is a lot of work. But here's what's most important to note here. We made these changes to better prioritize the mission of Jesus. The changes that we've made, the structures that we've chosen, we're choosing these things to better prioritize the mission of Jesus. And this is where I want to ask you a question. What changes do you need to make to better prioritize the mission of Jesus? Because I think that you're like me. And when you see the familiar path, when you see the easy path, when you see something that's comfortable, man, I am drawn to that. And I think that you are drawn to that. But fulfilling the mission of Christ isn't the easy, comfortable path. Jesus calls us to carry our cross and to follow him, to lay down our very lives for the sake of the gospel. And so I want to ask you again, what changes do you need to make in order to better prioritize the mission of Jesus? And so I'm gonna give you three just quick things that I think are often broad barriers to our you know, identifying our one and sharing the gospel, doing whatever it takes to reach our one. And so the three things I'll say is that we are often frenetic, like our calendar, our schedule is just crazy. And sometimes we're just honestly too busy for disciple making. So we're frenetic. We're often forgetful. We mean to do it. We just forgot. And then we're fearful. You know, sometimes you talk to someone and like, "Hey, do you have a one?" "Yeah, I've got a one." "Hey, talk to me about some of the conversations you've had with that one person that you've identified who, as far as you know, they don't know, and you're praying for them." And what you hear back is, "Man, I haven't gone there yet." And sometimes when they're honest, they'll say, "I'm kind of fearful. I'm a little bit afraid of how that conversation might go." We're frenetic, we're forgetful, and we're fearful. And I just want to give you three, hey, try this to counteract. And so when it comes to the fact that we're often frenetic, look at your calendar more. What changes do you need to make to better prioritize the mission of Jesus? When it comes to the fact that we're forgetful, and this is a tough one for me, I don't like that I'm about to say this, but look at condemnation more. The Apostle Paul in Romans tells us that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But Jesus in John chapter 3 says that those who do not believe in his name are already condemned. And I think for me, and probably also for you, The reason why I forget to share the gospel is because I don't ever think about condemnation, because it's not fun to think about that. So we look at our calendar more, we look at condemnation more, and when it comes to our fear, we look at Christ more. As Cale just read moments ago, Jesus has promised to be present with us all the time, no matter where we go, to the end of the age. And so I want to remind you, brothers and sisters in Christ, that Jesus goes with you. Look at Christ more and remind yourself in those moments of fear that Jesus is with me and he empowers me to be about his mission of making disciples in Central Ohio, the Midwest, and the world. And I know Ed's gonna come here in a moment and talk more about that beautiful promise of God's faithful presence in our lives.
Thank you, Adam. Yeah, Jesus gave us an incredible promise. As Cale read that verse, it's one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, because Jesus is telling us about his mission. And when he says, go therefore and make disciples, that is the command of all believers, that we're a part of the mission of God. And that's really what LifePoint's about, to draw life from God and point others to him. But you know, at the end of that, Cale touched on this, at the end of that command, he gave an incredible promise when he says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I mean, what does that look like though? You know, as you are part of the Great Commission, as you're part of disciple making, as you're part of following Christ, and he says, look, I'm gonna be right there with you. I'll be with you. What does that look like? And I was thinking about a verse I wanted to share that might help with this. It's found at the end of the book of Romans, in chapter 16, verse 20. And what's happened is Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and he's given them all this incredible truth about the gospel, the importance of the gospel, and how faith plays out. And at the end, he's giving them just a little exhortation, and he says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Isn't that very much the end of that, exactly like Jesus saying, look, I'll be with you. And Paul saying, yes, let the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. But think about that first statement. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The God of peace is about to do something very violent to Satan. Isn't that interesting? So what is the peace of God? You know, Paul also wrote that in Philippians 4 that it's the peace of God that transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. You see, God is peace. It's the very nature of who he is. And that when Jesus is with us, we can expect to experience the peace of God. But the peace of God does not mean that everything around us is perfect. In the same way that the peace of God is going to crush the enemy at some point, we can experience the peace of God in the midst of things that we just don't understand and things that are very difficult to handle. You know, I was thinking, I bet every one of us can identify that when you are around someone who's like really anxious, you can almost feel it, right? Or if you're around someone who's really angry, you can feel it. Or around someone who's really full of joy, you can feel that. In the same way that when you're around Christ, when his presence is with you, when the peace of God is with you, you can sense his peace. I was telling someone, this person's not a believer, not yet. And this person has been coming to services, and I had a conversation with her and said, hey, why do you like coming to LifePoint? And she said, Ed, I don't know, I feel good when I come. I said, do you wanna know why that is? She goes, I'm sure you're gonna tell me. I said, well, it's because God is good. The very nature of God is so good that when you come close to him, you get the reverb of his goodness. In the same way, the peace of God, it's the very nature of who he is, that when we draw close to him, we experience his peace. You know, isn't that the very thing that we all need? We need to experience the peace of God, to trust in God and experience his nature of the peace of who he is in us. We experience that in the midst of all of the most difficult things. And what I have learned about life is that those who seem to be growing in their faith seem to have a peace that transcends understanding. I was thinking about ways that I've seen that faithfulness play out, that God's promise and his son to be with us. I've seen that personally. This year has been one of the most difficult years of my life. Obviously, we've experienced COVID and all that has entailed, but I've done 4 funerals this year. One of those was one of my dearest friends, friend, Ange. She and I have known each other 30 years. And the very first Bible study I taught, she was part of that Bible study. And that faith is what has kept us connected over the years. And she's become a great friend to my wife, Tammy, and I, and our family. And she had a two-year battle with cancer. And she asked me to do her funeral. And over the last several weeks of her life, I got to spend a lot of time with her. And at every time I would go to visit and I would get ready to leave, I'd say, Ange, how can I pray for you today? And I'll never forget, it was just a couple weeks before she passed. She knew she was gonna go. I knew she was gonna go. This was not a question. And this is what she asked me to pray for her. She said, pray that I can bring one more person into the kingdom with my life. I remember wanting to honor her and honor that request to the best of my ability at the funeral by sharing the gospel as boldly as I could make it. And at the end of that that time of where I shared the gospel, I asked people to bow and pray. I asked people to make a decision to follow Christ. At the end, I asked them, I want you to raise your hand as if to say, God, look at me. I want to acknowledge you that you are now my Savior, Jesus. And I asked people to raise their hands. I stopped counting at 10. I couldn't see well enough to see how many. God is faithful. He's faithful to be with us, to experience his peace in the midst of very difficult things. I've watched that in the church. You know, our call, our campus in Westerville, we want to reach all of Westerville with the gospel. And I'm watching as our people are trying to love others in the community, even in the midst of COVID, inviting them into services, inviting them into, you know, their life groups. And I've got to see two different people who were once had no peace with God. They were enemies of God. They literally would have considered themselves agnostic or atheist. And yet this year, I've watched them come to faith. It's incredible to watch the faithfulness of God as we are disciple makers. And can I just say, in Westerville, you know, we did the campaign last year, the Build campaign, and it was really about learning how to leverage what God has given you on behalf of the gospel, on behalf of the Great Commission. And our body came together and they said, look, we want to sacrifice. And we watched that happen. Even all through COVID, the faithfulness of the people and the faithfulness of God through them. I had three big prayers this year. One was to find a worship leader who could be full-time, that would be amazing and fit great on our team and be able to help build our team. I was praying for a community life pastor, and I was praying that somehow we would find a permanent location. If you had told me in January that all three of those things would be answered, that God would come through and prove himself faithful through all three of those things, which have all happened now. We have Caleb Messer as our worship leader. We have Dustin Yankasi as our community life pastor. And we've just moved into our first permanent facility in Westerville. If you had told me at the beginning of January, God was gonna answer all three, I would have said, great, this is the greatest year. I can tell you, if I had woke up today with my head sewn to the carpet, I couldn't be more surprised that in the midst of COVID, God would provide all three of those things. And I can sense the peace of God in all of this because he's faithful. He's faithful. You know, Dean is gonna share a little bit more about the mission and then we're gonna take communion together.
Thanks, Ed. I wanted to read you a verse from Psalm 103 as we kind of think about rounding out this year. Psalm 103:17 says this, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. You know, maybe one of the most unusual ideas for me as I think about this year is that we say that here at LifePoint that our mission is to draw life from God and to point others to him. And in the midst of a crazy year that Adam, Kale, and Ed have all done a great job describing to you. In the midst of circumstances that we would have never dreamed of, we would have never expected, would have never asked for or wanted, that I believe as much as I can see, we have drawn life from God and we pointed others to him in ways that we never imagined that we would. I've got a stack of emails here and I could go through and I could read them. I could read to you this email from somebody who said on a Sunday morning, they started scrolling through Facebook and they were in the middle of a crisis trying to kind of comfort themselves by looking at Facebook, and they came across our feed on Sunday morning and God and God spoke to them. I could read you this one from one of the folks who attends LifePoint, who says, "Hey, I invited people to watch today from Las Vegas and Alabama and Tennessee, and I have friends that are watching from all over the country." I've got an email here from somebody who said, "Man, I was grateful to be able to watch your feed from Europe today." I've got an email here from our partner, from Reggie Hayes in downtown Columbus, who said, "Man, you helped us this week feed over 350 people." I've got, maybe this is my favorite one. This one, written in wonderful, beautiful handwriting, says, "Dear Pastor Dean, hello, how are you? I'm great. Thank you for teaching us the Bible. I love to learn." And it's from a youngster named Sophia. And so, as much as I know, as much as I can see, in the midst of what's a crazy year, God's helped us accomplish our mission. You know, Adam mentioned to us that over the past couple of years, we've asked you to invest in one person. More than that's fine, but at least one person who doesn't have a relationship with God, that you would pray for them, that you would invest in them, that you would seek to have gospel conversations with them. We talked about this last year, entering in to 2020, and asked everyone to take that step again. And I can tell you that, my one has started coming to church and is asking questions about faith. They're not there yet, but they're on the way. And if it weren't for the circumstances of 2020, I don't know that they would be there. I don't know they would be on their way. I don't know that they would be seeking the way that they're seeking today. And so in the midst of the chaos, Christ is the constant. And so we thought the best way to end our year together today would be to celebrate communion together around Christ, around his sacrifice. And so for those of you who are with us today and you're Christians, you're in right relationship with God, or maybe you're not in right relationship with God, but now is the time that you want to change that. Taking communion together with us is for you. When the Hebrews celebrated the Passover, which in a lot of ways is the precursor to New Testament communion, when they celebrated that together in the Old Testament, one of the unique things they would do is they would always have an empty chair. And the empty chair was there to remind them of a person. And it wasn't just that they had an empty chair, but at a specific point among celebrating the Passover in their home, they would open their front doors and they would leave the front door open. And the person who belonged in the chair was the one that they were praying for, longing for, wishing for, the coming Messiah. It was to remind them that Messiah would come. And the door was left open because they believed that Messiah could come anytime, any minute, and they wanted to be ready for him to come. And so I would just say to you today, you need to know that that seat, that Messiah seat, that empty chair has been filled by the man, Christ Jesus, who left heaven, came to earth. We celebrated him at Christmas, the one the Hebrews were looking for, but just as much so the one that we were spiritually looking for, the one that we needed to come and to save us from our sins. He has filled the seat today. He's seated in the heavenlies, a king, king of the universe. But that door is still open. Scriptures teach us that someday he will return and he will call his people to himself to restore everything to the way it ought to be. And that is our kingdom hope. As we enter into a new year, our circumstances may get better. They may not immediately get better. We don't know. But what we do know is that we have an eternal king and an eternal home, and we have begun an eternal relationship with him from everlasting to everlasting, from eternity to eternity. How great is your love for those who fear you. So if you've gathered up some communion elements together earlier in the service, we're gonna take the opportunity now to celebrate communion together. The scriptures say that on the night before Jesus went to the cross, that he took bread, and that he blessed it, and that he broke it. He gave thanks and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." And then he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink all of it. This is the remission or the payment for sins. Let's pray together. God, as we hear just some of the stories about what you've done in this year, the stories point us to the reality that you are not surprised by 2020. That there was no panic because of a pandemic in heaven. Lord, you are not worried, you are not concerned. That you are our sovereign King. And God, to you and to you only do we give our trust. And so as we close out this year, God, as a church family, we want to do that with this sense that we began the year, the sense that you are our hope. Lord, we've experienced some lows and then some highs this year spiritually. And Lord, so I pray for our body in the midst of that, Lord, that some of whom are grieving today, they're grieving losses, they're grieving painful moments. But Lord, we think about that, we pray with them all along the baseline, hope and joy and peace. And so God, as we step into the reality of this next year, Lord, we just want us to come to you again and say that behind the great commission of your love and behind the mission, God, of this commandment that you've given us to love you with everything we have, everything we are, the mission that you've given us to make a difference in the world, that God, we want to follow you, that our hands, our hearts, our lives are all open to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.